What is up, family? It's great to be together. Welcome home and welcome to the family. Dads, happy Father's Day. Hopefully today you feel honored, loved, and cared for. Hopefully you also recognize the major role that you play in our families today. And so we want to celebrate you today, all our fathers. We are thankful for you. If you got your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 6 is where we're going to be this morning. Kind of be all over your Bible, but really going to plant ourselves into a verse in Ephesians chapter 6. You know, when I was in high school, there was this movie release that kind of caught everybody's attention. It was a movie that was full of intrigue, a little bit confusing, and it was a movie that you almost had to watch once, twice, maybe three times to fully understand what it was trying to portray. The movie was called The Matrix. Come on, how many people have seen the movie The Matrix? Yeah, y'all kind of know what I'm talking about at this point. This movie was so unique, so action-packed, and yet everybody's trying to figure out what in the world is going on in this movie. And The Matrix ultimately was this portal, this key to the spiritual world all around, the battle that was waging everywhere. And there's kind of this pinnacle moment in the movie The Matrix where Neo sits down with Morpheus, and Neo is offered this choice. A choice to take one pill and live in ignorant bliss to the war that is waging around in the spiritual realm. Take another pill and your eyes will be open to see everything for what it really is. But rather than tell you about it, let me just show you.
Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room, you can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
I mean, can you imagine that choice? At some level, we all have that choice. Right? Many of us, we choose to pretend that the spiritual realm isn't there, that there isn't a war waging around all of us between good and evil. And yet others are opening their eyes to the fight for our lives. You see, when we started this series last week, the series called God of the Age, where we're studying the powers of evil, right? The devil, Satan himself, his demons, spiritual warfare. What's really hard about this conversation is it's the unseen world. It's the world that we can, at some level, ignore and pretend like it doesn't exist. But the Bible teaches us over and over again that there is a battle going on for your life that is unseen. There is a war raging right now between good and evil, between God and his angels and Satan and his demons, and they are fighting for you. They're fighting for your affection, your attention. They're fighting for your adoration, your choices, your commitment, and ultimately the battle is for your worship. And Paul teaches us about this battle in Ephesians chapter 6. In this segment of scripture, the first thing Paul starts with is the armor that we should wear for the battle. We'll get to that armor all next week. But then after he teaches us about the armor of God, he teaches us who the real enemy is, who we're actually fighting against. Let's look at what he says in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." So Paul does two things here. He teaches us two things. The first thing he teaches us is who our enemy is not. Paul says, you're not fighting against flesh and blood. Now that kind of feels weird because in life, doesn't it feel like we often are fighting against flesh and blood? We spend a lot of our time fighting with other people in our lives. In fact, some of us are still convinced that your ex-spouse or a boss who mistreated you or Republicans or Democrats are the enemy. Paul teaches us that's just not true. We do not fight against flesh and blood. But Paul says, let me teach you in life who your real enemy is. The devil and his forces are your real enemy. He says, you want to know who you're fighting against? Rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Mighty powers in the dark world and against evil spirits. That is who the war rages against. That's who we as Christians are battling against. And so this morning, as we continue in this journey, I want to talk about the battle for our lives. And I want to teach you the schemes, the playbook the enemy has to get you, to win the war against your lives. And here's the reality of our enemy. A lot of people, we when we think about the devil, we often think, oh, the devil's just a dummy. He's not. The devil is a brilliant strategist, and he knows how to get to you. He knows your weak spots, and he has built this entire plan to get you trapped into his schemes, and I want to talk about them today. They progress. The first scheme the devil has is he wants to deceive you. He is a liar, and his game is deception. He's a great con artist, a master manipulator. His language is lies, right? We see this in John chapter 8. The Bible teaches us when he, that's the devil, lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. And you're going to hear this over and over and over again in the series. If anything I can beat into your head is that anytime the devil speaks to your life, he's lying. There is no truth coming from him. And so don't buy the lie because he's trying to deceive you. And dang, is he good at it. He is a master deceiver. In fact, he's so good at it, he's deceived himself. Did you know that the devil kind of wanders around this earth as the good guy? He actually believes he's the righteous one, and his demons are offering the good path, the righteous path to people. Look what Paul says. He says, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It shouldn't surprise us then that his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. You see, he's so good at deceiving, he's convinced himself he's doing the right thing. He's offering you the righteous, the godly path. And it's been happening from the very beginning, church. Right, last week we looked at how this angel of light, perfect in beauty, fell from heaven. Where God kicked the enemy out of heaven and his kingdom, and now he became the ruler of the earth. And when the enemy fell, guess what happened? Guess what he did? He went right for humanity to deceive them. We see it at the very beginning of your Bible. Genesis chapter 3, look how the enemy is described. It says, now the serpent, that's the devil, was more crafty, more deceptive than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And what does he do? He comes to Adam and Eve. Did God really say you shouldn't eat of all the trees in the garden? And this is how his lies work. He uses a little bit of truth. Just a little bit of truth. He distorts it. He makes you think it's the truth. He distorts it and he gets you to buy it. He whispers lies. And I promise you, throughout your life, the devil is going to whisper his deception, his lies to you. And here's what they're going to sound like. You deserve better. Come on, God's ways are outdated and old-fashioned. Isn't it time God caught up with culture? Looking at porn, it's not going to hurt you. It's for your pleasure. It's okay to cut corners. Nobody's watching. Flirting, it's harmless. If God really loved you, why would he allow that to happen? Why would he bring that into your life? Hey, nobody needs to know. It's your secret. How can you know if you're going to have physical chemistry unless you try it with him or her? And his lies just keep coming and coming, and they usually carry a little bit of truth, so you buy it. And here's the point of it. The devil will show you paradise to lead you to hell. The devil will disguise his way as this beautiful, pleasurable, amazing, where all the fun is, and it's disguised, but ultimately it leads to the pit of hell and your destruction. Let me put it to you in a little bit of a different context. In the Karshner household, one of the things that we love is we love avocados. Avocados from Mexico. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Thank you. 8:30 left me hanging this morning. I sang and they're like, what's wrong with you? Appreciate you. I feel so much better now. But I love avocados. My family loves avocados because they are so flexible. Right, you can cut an avocado in half and you can put some everything seasoning, some salt and pepper, and you can eat it like a side dish with a spoon. You can cut it up and put it into a salad. It's good there. You can mash it up and make some good old-fashioned guacamole. Anybody hungry today? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And so every once in a while in the Karshner household, I'll sit down and I'll grab me some avocados. And here's what happens, right? I got a bowl and I got my knife and I take my first avocado and I grab it and I pull it and I split it and I'm like, hallelujah. This thing is fixing to eat, man. It's beautiful. It's green. It's soft. You mash it up. Yes, let's go. And so you scoop it out. You put it in the bowl. You put the thing over here. And I grab my next avocado. It looks identical. Feels the same way. You cut it. You open it. And boom. You ever been there before? Like who wants to eat this? But can I tell you, that's exactly how the devil works. From the outside, you'd never know the difference. From the outside, it feels good, it looks good, but when you get to the core of it, it's rotten. Because the devil is gonna show you something that looks real, something that looks true. He's gonna show you paradise to get you to fall to hell. And that's the first scheme, is he's a liar. He wants to deceive you. And it progresses because once he gets you to lie, the second scheme he has for you is he's going to accuse you. This is how it flows, right? The devil knows when you buy the lie, when you fall for the trap, when you buy his deception, here's what happens. It means you chose his way instead of God's way. And when you do that in your life, guess what you feel? Guilt and shame. And when you feel guilt and shame, guess what the devil's gonna do? He's gonna accuse you. In fact, the actual name Satan means accuser. Revelation 12 says it like this, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters. And what does the devil do? He accuses them before our God day and night. And here's the progression, right? You buy the lie, you fall for the deception, you feel guilt and shame, and here's where it comes. The devil says, this is who you are. You're never gonna be any better than this. You're a failure, a screw up. In fact, how could God love you when you chose that? And he will accuse you over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And the repetition is strategic because he knows if he repeats it in your life over and over again, he will call you names until you choose to identify with and own those names. And when you choose to identify with the names the devil has been preaching over your life, he has you exactly where he wants you because he doesn't even need to accuse you anymore. He gets you to do it yourself. Right? It looks a little bit like this. You ever seen someone maybe at a coffee shop with a cup of coffee? They're just relaxing, chilling, drinking their coffee, and then all of a sudden, they spill the coffee. Right? Accidents happen all the time, but when they spill the coffee, they begin to just be embarrassed. They begin to tell themselves, like, what is wrong with me? I always do this. This is who I am. Why can't I ever go anywhere and not mess up or screw up? I guess this is all I have. There's no hope for me. And the truth is, if we're going to be real in church, many of us are right there right now. We've not just bought the lie of the enemy. We've not just heard his accusations. Now we identify with them. Because when you look in the mirror, you accuse yourself. When you look in the mirror, all you see is a failure, a screw up, someone who has no hope, who will get no better, someone who is stuck and there is no future for you. You see, the devil has you exactly where he wants you because he doesn't even need to say anything to you anymore. You say it to yourself. And that's where his third progression of schemes comes. When he can get you to identify with his accusations, that leads to the place where he will destroy you. It started with the lie, the deception. You fell for it. You felt the guilt and the shame, and he accused you over and over again, and you bought it. You fell for it, and now you accuse yourself, and he goes even deeper with it. Because now he whispers, you are right. You are a loser. You are a failure. And you know what? Your life has no value. You see, the people around you, they would be better off without you. Nobody loves you. You just get in their way. And so he just leads you to the place where he doesn't even have to destroy you. You do it on your own. He convinces you, sinks you down into the darkness and of your guilt and shame so much that you can't see hope. You can't see life. You can't see purpose. And ultimately, the only option you have is destruction. Jesus warns us about this. In John chapter 10, he says, the thief, that's your enemy, that's the devil, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. He's got no good intentions for you, only to buy the lie, to accuse you, to get you to destroy yourself. And the Proverbs also warn us about this. They say there's a way that appears to be right. The path looks good, but in the end, it leads to death. That's the avocado, my friends. It looks good on the outside. You think you're going down the right way, but when you get into the middle of it, it leads to your demise, your destruction, your ruin. Here's what you need to know. The enemy, Satan, Lucifer, whatever name you want to go by, he only wants your demise, your destruction. He wants to ruin you, your family. And can I tell you today, fathers, the devil's coming after your family. And men, it's our job to stand up and protect them, to fight for our families, because he just wants your destruction. There is a battle that happens every moment, every hour, every day for your life. Many of us, we have no clue. It's waging. It's unseen. And good and evil are battling for your attention, for your ear, for your heart, for your mind, for your family, and ultimately for who you will stand and worship. And I get it. At some level, when we talk about things like the devil, it can be a little bit uneasy. It could leave our stomach a little unsettled. It could build fear into our lives. But man, I have amazing news for you today, church. There is a different way. There is a better way. In fact, Jesus, when he warns you about the devil, he compares his path to Jesus's. He says this in John chapter 10. He says, the thief, he's gonna come and steal from you, kill you, destroy you. But look at the hope Jesus gives us. He says, I have come, Jesus came, that you and you and those of you watching online and at Brighton and Webster, that all of us could have life and have it to the full. You see, what Jesus says is I came to offer you a better way. Jesus declares that there's a different option for you, a path that doesn't lead to destruction, but leads to hope and purpose and meaning. Like, Jesus came to give you a different option. He declares that there is a better way. And here's the difference between voices. Because the devil's gonna accuse you, and Jesus is gonna correct that accusation. You see, today the devil's gonna whisper in your ear, you're unlovable. But Jesus is gonna declare, you are loved. The devil's gonna say to you, you're shameful. But Jesus is gonna say, I set you free from your shame. The devil's gonna say, you're unforgivable. Jesus says, you're forgiven. The devil says, you're alone, by yourself. Jesus says, you are mine. The devil says, you're too far gone. But praise be to Jesus, that Jesus says, there's still time for your life. There's hope, there's grace, and there's mercy. And so today, as this battle wages, as Christians, as Christ followers, of those who carry the name of Jesus, here's the truth. It doesn't mean when you accept Jesus, the battle is over. The devil gives up. Oh no, what am I gonna do? No, he's coming after you. The devil loves to get people who carry the name of Jesus to look different than Jesus. And so our job is to see through the lies. Our job is to put on the armor of God and say, no, I'm picking the path Jesus has paved for me. To follow in his ways every day, that's a choice, Christ follower. You have to choose it over and over again. And yet, here's what I believe. Today, there are some of you who are still caught in your guilt and your shame. You can't get around it. No matter what you do, you look in the mirror and you feel the weight of your failure. You feel the weight of your choices. You feel the weight of your past. That guilt and shame is oppressive. It won't leave you alone. How do you win? How do you get over it? Can I tell you that the solution to your guilt and shame is not trying to fix your life up, to become better, to muster up the strength, to look good before God. It doesn't work. The solution to your shame is the cross and the resurrection. The solution to your shame and your guilt is a God who died for you in your place and conquered your enemy through his resurrection. And so it's going to your Savior. And so today, I just want to give you that invitation to step into the life that Jesus offers you, the path he offers you, the life to the fullest. And so if we would just bow our heads, at some level, I don't need to describe who you are because you already know it. You feel like I'm talking directly to you. And if you're tired, exhausted of the weight of the shame that you feel, the guilt, the accusations of the enemy, you won't win the battle alone, but you don't have to. Jesus has already won it for you. And today, all you have to do is put your faith and trust in him. Salvation is not some magical prayer. It's surrender to the King of Kings. It's surrender to your Savior. And if you're ready to do that, it's as simple as this. In your own words, just tell God what I'm leading you to. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've fallen for the lies of the enemy, and for that I need your forgiveness. And God, I recognize alone, I can't win this war, but I don't have to because you already won it for me. And so today I'm confessing with my mouth and I'm believing in my heart that you are Lord. That you went to the cross for my sin, for my shame, for my guilt. And you won the battle through conquering death through your resurrection. And so today, I want the life that you offer. I want the hope and the peace and the joy despite the chaos of my life. And so I ask God that you would come into my life, that you would be my leader, my Savior, my master. I want to follow you, God, the rest of the days of my life. Amen. And listen to me. Here's my beg, my plead. If you said that prayer, I'm not gonna embarrass you. I'm not gonna make you do anything crazy. All I want you to do is let us know. We want to rejoice with you. We want to celebrate with you. And so just let us know. The simplest way to do that is you just go to iwant.info. You let us know who you are. And here's the point of that. It's not some like sideways way to get your information, to barrage you with all these things. You know, here's what we say each and every week at this church. We say, welcome home and welcome to the family. And what we mean by that is we are a family. And so when you struggle, we struggle. When you struggle, we pray for you. We fight each other's battles. We go to bat for each other because we are a family. And if you just welcome yourself through God to the family, we want to pray for you. We want to resource you of what it looks like to follow Jesus. We want to walk with you because whether you like it or not, you're now part of this family. And come on, church, let's welcome them into the family. Come on, people have been set free today. Woo! Let's pray together. God, thank you. God, when we slow down and we think about salvation, that you rescued us from the pit of hell. We didn't deserve it, God. We didn't earn it. You died for it. And man, God, may we stand today in that victory. May we walk out of here bold and courageous, audacious with the gospel, because it's so good we can't shut up about it, that the God of the universe stepped into heaven and died for me and for you. And we want Rochester, we want our suburbs and our city and our homes and our neighbors to know how sweet Jesus is. God, we pray that you would protect each individual that said yes to you today, that you would surround them with angels to fight all of hell as it comes after them. Win the battle, Lord. We love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name,